Tonight, I just want to start off with God's priority for the local church. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. God's priority for the local church. And stand if you just read those three verses, give reverence to the Word of God. I'll read verse 6, you read verse 7, and then we'll read verse 8 together. God's priority for the local church. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6. I'll start off, and then you do 7, and we'll do 8 together. The Bible reads, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, the disciples asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Verse 7. Let's read verse 8 together. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Let's pray. Father, as we open this year, Lord, with your priority, I pray as a church, as we come together, I'm sure some of the other brethren may still be on their way, I pray that God will take your priority seriously this year. And Father, what is on your heart? Lord, there may be other things that will come up. But God, at least for your local church, we pray, Father, that you help give us a glimpse of what's inside your heart through your precious word. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a mighty way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Yeah, just begin with just asking. The church we know is an institution, right? It's an institution of God, okay? So, let me ask you a question. Let's ask us a question to start off with. What is the priority of a school? If you go to a school, what's the priority for a school? The main thing, a school. What does a school has to do? Yes. Educate. Sorry. Educate them. To what? To what? What does it, okay? When you go to school to do what? You go to do to learn, right? So what does the school have to do? Yeah, okay, school have to educate, have to teach, okay, so that's one thing. What's the primary role of the army or the armed forces in Singapore? What's the primary role of the armed forces or in the Philippines? What's the primary role? To protect, to defend the country in times of war, right? Okay. What's the primary role of the hospital? Of course, now there are different roles, but we go to hospital for what? For treatment to get better, right? To get better, hopefully to get better, right? Okay? So what's the priority of the church? God actually has a primary work for the local church. And I want us to actually remember that, because after our touch on the fact that in this day and age, and the church have, many churches have gone away from what is called primary role. We'll touch on that a little bit, okay? God wants us as a church to focus on the primary work that he has given to us, okay? After this, we'll talk about what it is in the third point. But in this passage that we just read, you'll find that the disciples were a little bit distracted, okay? And we want to use this passage to remind us why we must be reminded of God's priority with regards to the priority of the local church. Okay, just three quick points. Look at verse number 6 first. The Lord Jesus Christ has already come back from the dead. He's already spent about 40 days with them. In this particular passage, he's going to ascend up to heaven. And then, in verse number 6, they actually ask Jesus, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" All right, the Jews' mindset, okay, the Jewish mindset is that they were always looking for a physical deliverer, someone who will save them from the Roman conquerors. All right, so in their mindset, they were always looking for a Messiah. In fact, it permeated culture, it permeated the Jewish thinking and society. And the grandfather, the great-great-grandfather would touch the grandfather, grandfather would touch the father would touch the son, teach the son, and say, we are all looking for the judge, we're looking for the deliverer, we're looking for the prophet, in Deuteronomy 18, the prophet, the one that will save us from all these things. So society permeated with a sort of mindset that they had, okay? And so, One of the reasons why Judas Iscariot was disappointed and ended up betraying Jesus was because he was so sure that Jesus will be the next Messiah, and he wanted to be next to him. And so that's why he followed. But when he realized that actually Jesus was going to be crucified, why am I losing my whole life for? And so he decided to sell and betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. All right. So Judas was disappointed. Society teaches us in a certain way to think in a certain way, and sometimes even as Christians, the societal thinking becomes our thinking. Why do we have to be reminded? Number one, because we can get carried away with our own agendas for life. As we begin 2014, I want to start off with this. Because we can get carried away with our own agendas for life. The Jews were looking for a physical Messiah. They thought that the Lord Jesus was the one. And initially they were disappointed and they were afraid when they didn't receive what they wanted. When Jesus Christ was crucified, everyone was running away and saying, hey, well, if they're going to catch us, all right, if they're going to catch Jesus, crucify him. And what's going to do to us after that? So the Bible actually says, John chapter 20, they were hiding in the upper room. They were afraid the Jews would come and catch them after Jesus was crucified. But now it's a different story. Jesus has rose from the dead. They've seen it. And then they said, well, Lord, since you have power over even death, so I think right now, right, you will overcome. And you will come and establish a kingdom. The lesson we want to learn, before we go on to point number two, is when our agendas, what we think, are our agenda and not the Lord's, we can get disappointed. The Jews were disappointed initially when, and that's why the Bible says they forsook the Lord and ran away. When Jesus was, they're not going to get anything. In their hearts, they were very clear, Jesus was going to be a physical Messiah. But Jesus was very clear, my kingdom is not of this world. Okay, number one, we need to be reminded of God's priority, because we can get carried away with our own agendas for life. Don't get carried away this year with your own agendas and forget what is God's priority. All right, that's point number one. But look at verse number seven, point number two. And he said unto them, after they asked the question, Jesus replied to the disciples, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power. Point number two is because we can make the mistake of what is important for us to be important to God. Does it make sense? Because to the Jews, it's inferred from the passage when they actually ask the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, would thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? By the way, remember James and John? Before the Lord's Supper, what did their mother requested of Jesus? To sit at the right and left hand, right? Right? And so at this time, what? Jesus is crucified, gone. My kingdom is gone. But now, Jesus rose from the dead. The disciples came back away with the same mindset before the resurrection and said, Lord, would thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Lord, I mean, things have been done. You've conquered death. I mean, you're the Son of God. And will you at this time restore the kingdom? I mean, this is the right time. Lord, you have all power. And obviously, it must be the time, right? What was important to the Jews? To the Jews, the Davidic kingdom, they were expecting the Davidic kingdom, the kingdom that God is going to establish on earth. Surely God wants it to happen right now. We want it, and we want it now. And therefore, God ought to give us to us now. By the way, this is important to God, right? The Davidic kingdom? Right? But, I was sharing with the crowd who came earlier just now. I went to a medical center today to have a check on my knees, okay, Camden Center. Some of you may know in town. So, I was just there. We scanned our appointment card, and then I was just sitting there. And there was one Malay guy who was sitting in front there. It was those guys. And he started to ask, I mean, Joy was beside me. She was just reading Sherlock Jones. There's this book called Sherlock Jones, a Christian book then. And then, just about a few seats before, there was this guy who was saying, can I ask, when is my turn? Something like that, along those lines. I've been waiting for 1 hour, you know. And I kind of just forgot about that because I was just looking at what Joy is reading and just kind of didn't pay attention to the scene. But after the next thing, about 5 minutes later, I saw him say, I'm leaving, you tell the doctor I'm leaving, And he was quite loud. I'm going to make a complaint. He said, I wait for 1 hour already, no. Okay. And then after that, he kind of walked out. I thought he was going to leave, and make a complaint to whoever. And then 5 minutes later, you see this booming voice coming from the clinic. And she was saying, you don't make a complaint. The whole clinic resonated with his sound. He was just shouting through the whole clinic. And he was shouting at the staff. He was just, I waited for 1 hour already, you know. But I'm sure other people waited more longer because there are other people there. He did say, I'm the first person here. Am I still here? And, you know, and he was shouting. And how many of you would expect to go to a clinic like that, SGH, subsidized clinic, and wait for 1 hour and get seen? All right, sometimes you wake up. For me, I was there for 3 hours before everything finished, and I expected it. We don't know what the reason was, but obviously there was something in his mind. You're taking up my time. I'm the first one here. And he was complete, and he went to every consultation room. The senior doctor here? No. Then after he went in, I was here, sitting in this room. And you know, the clinic usually had their rooms all attached, right? So I kind of could see him opening the door the first time. You're a doctor? Then he said, then doctor, of course, Friend Knight, his name is Darren Tay, by the way, the doctor. So it's interesting. Then he said, can I help you? I say, where's the senior doctor? Where? Oh, this is C1. The doctor is in C3, the senior doctor. Wow, that one, the doctor, lousy man. He was saying all these things. And then after he came to the room, doctor here, I was just sitting there and said, no doctor. Then he went to the third one. And he was just going, please, I'm making a lot of noise. And I want it, what, now? You know? He was shouting at the nurses. And then the security guard also came up. But I don't think the security guard had any match for him because the security guard was smaller than him. I shouted, he was a bit tall. And I mean, he was just pacing up and down, you know. Are you calling out? He was shouting at the nurse and all that kind of thing. Just because he was... What do you think... What kind of characteristic was he manifesting? He was very impatient. Very, very impatient. Of course, he may have his own reasons why. It could be he talked about the fact that he has to take half-day leave and maybe he is an hour-by-hour wage. We don't know. But you know, in that situation, sometimes we are so controlled by certain motivation that we would insist everything to happen in our own time. And sometimes as Christians, we can mistake what is important for us to be equally important to God. And I think I want to tell you from Scripture, God's ways are not our ways. It's important for us as Christians to actually see things always from God's perspective. What's important to us may not at that time be important to God in terms of the time frame. And what's important to God may not be important to us. Okay? And we need to be able to discern, because sometimes people will say, oh, everything is God's hand, so we do nothing. We need to be very clear. God's will necessitates our involvement. And our involvement, just make it plain, when God wills something for us, there are two ways He wants us to act. One is to take deliberate action when it is His will, and one is to wait. Both are actions. But we need to be very clear, what is it that He wants us to do? Now, I'll give you a very simple principle how to decide. God will not do for us. Sometimes Christians will say, I just wait on the Lord. If God wants me to do, He'll let me. God will not do for us what He knows we can and should do. Does it make sense? God will not do for us what He knows and we know what we can and should do. An example, remember, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Jesus went to raise him from the dead. And what was His instruction to the men? Move away the stone. Move away the stone. You do what you can do, and I'll do what you cannot do, and that's to raise Lazarus from the dead. Does it make sense? Christians, we have a responsibility to just obey what God says to do. And when we come to say, God, I've done all I can. For example, if you want to win your parents to the Lord, you win your friends to the Lord, you open your mouth and share the gospel. You pray for him actively. You know, and one of the things this year is, when we pray for someone, let's put some shoes, let's put some action to that as well. It was specifically, Lord, when praying, we expect you to work, and so, Lord, we are going to do something about that. Give a tract, SMS, invite. God will not do for us what He knows and we know that we can do and should do. When we have done all that we can and still the victory is not won, then we can expect God to come in. Does that make sense? And so let's take responsibility for what we can do. And so in this situation, Jesus was saying in verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's not for you to know. It's not for you to know. That means, why are you concerned about something that you need not be concerned about? We need, his implication is we need to be concerned with what God wants us to be concerned about. Because in verse number 8, but, point number 3, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus has repeated the commission 4 times. This is number 5th time. He's going up. He's told them 4 times the commission. This is the 5th time. Point number 3, because God wants us as a church to focus on what is currently on His heart. The context is the local church right now. What is God's priority, right? God wants us to focus what is currently on His heart. Okay, the question I want to ask based on this, what do you think is the most important item on God's heart for the local church today? What's the most important priority on God's heart for the local church in the 21st century? The 21st century, right? Yeah. What's the most important item on God's heart for the local church in this 21st century? Sorry? What? To evangelize? What else? Sorry? Sanctification of the believer, okay. So basically it's the Great Commission. Yes? Biblically speaking, that is God's number one priority for the local church. Number one. And as a church, we cannot move away from that priority in any way, shape, or form. It has to have top emphasis year after year after year, because that is what Jesus wants the church to do. Okay? The reason why I say that is, okay, let me just go through and then after I apply that about what is happening. Okay? The most important item in the Lord's heart for the local church is the evangelism of the individuals and the world, and the building up of His church till He comes. Okay? We are empowered by God's Spirit, which is a one-time thing. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. The church had already started. Jesus was that power when He was on earth. But He says, therefore, He says, I have to go. It's expedient that I leave you, in John chapter 14, 15, 16. So that the Holy Ghost can come and empower you. Alright, there's a one-time thing in the Greek. It's a one-time empowerment. So we are empowered by God's Spirit. We are given the authority, as Ralph DeLong has taught, we are given the authority as ambassadors and the power to do the will of God in evangelism. So every time we knock on the door, every time we share the word of God in church, every time we talk to a friend at home, every time you share with your sister about something, God empowers you with the authority to share the gospel so that this particular person can come to Christ, okay? We are to be witnesses for Christ. He shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and he shall be what? Witnesses unto me. The word witness literally means a martyr. So if you look at the implications of being a witness, number one is work. Okay? A witness means to work, okay? It's hard work, and it can be sometimes dangerous work. Because the idea of a witness to the disciples during that time, when they share the gospel, it will be at risk of their lives. It was a given during that time. When you're a Christian, that's it, you lose everything. That's why Jesus, you will be martyrs for me. For us, thank God, today, we don't have to be martyrs. But I think in some countries of the world, some Christians literally have to give up their lives. I just want to share something. I got an SMS from my Joanna's piano teacher, who is a Christian. And I think, you know, in Malaysia recently, there's this thing about use of name Allah and things like that. And she actually shared a prayer request. I'll just read the prayer request. Okay, he said this. Prayer request around 1:30 to 2:10. I received this yesterday. 2nd January 2014, the I don't know what JS. JS apparently is a Muslim group or something like that. Raided the Bible Society premises, the bookshop and the store behind the bookshop. At first, they were not allowed in, but they insisted. The chairman, Mr. Lee Moon Chun, was called because he lived in the area. He also did not want them to come in, but furthermore, there was no written warrant. But the JS insisted, so five of them were allowed in. They said there was a report the books with the word Allah was found in the premises. They searched and quickly found books with Allah. They took 320 copies of the Bible, one copy of black, another. So it took generally about 350 copies. They took it away. And please pray, because Mr. Lee Min Chun, the one who came, and Sinclair Wong, which is actually also part of the Bible Society, is in the police station right now. And it was just, today's the third, right? I received this on the second. So in Malaysia, our brethren, I mean, we may not agree with all their doctrines, but for the Bible, and just, I mean, there's some religious opposition to what they're trying to do. Okay? And it just crossed the causeway. And we have and for us, as Christians, we have such freedom. Thank God for freedom. You know? And, you know, the heart of evangelism over the last few months have increased in my heart as I look specifically. I shared with you how we had to deal with an Indian person, a boy that just so defiant. And when you share the word, then they don't even want to look at you, and you make life hard for everyone. Why? They're under the bondage of sin. And we have such freedom to be witnesses for Christ. I'm thankful I can see, as I look across the room, all of you have at one time or another tried to win someone to Christ. You know, continue this. Because Jesus said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And we are supposed to go everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to uttermost parts of the world. And one of the things I'm praying this year, hopefully we'll be able to support two more missionaries. I think we, and also for our church families to actually adopt our mission so we can do more. Because we need to be involved, not only in our, we thank God for the faithfulness of the people who has been tracking, but we need to be involved in the evangelism of the world as well. If we can't go, then we need to send people. Pastor Jacob Tan, let's pray, is coming 9th of February for evangelistic, the Chinese one. So we'll be praying for your loved ones. Okay, he's agreed. And I'm praying that, I'm going to speak to him before that. I think apparently he's planning to go to China. Do pray for him, and we could take him on to support him, you know. He's a brother who loves the Lord and loves the Chinese host, and he's very fluent in Mandarin. He's going to come here on the 9th of February for the Chinese evangelistic outreach. He's agreed already. I've called him, he said he's done. So do pray for your loved ones, friends, and bring them. All right, it will be in the afternoon service at 3:30, but we need to do more. Okay? But when we do, we need to do it collectively so that everyone will be supported. We don't feel stressed that I'm the only one doing it. Okay? Now, we need to focus on what is currently on God's heart. Not many churches, I believe many churches today know that they're supposed to win souls. But unfortunately, not many churches are concerned about what is really important in God's heart today with regards to souls. Some churches really focus a lot on family. Really, all out, family-centered church. Okay? Which is not a problem, because family is important in God's sight. But the priority of the local church, I say it without apology based on scripture, is not the family. It's not the family. Okay? That doesn't mean that we don't care about the family. I want to make it clear. If you study the scriptures, the New Testament church priority is on reaching, discipling, and winning them to Christ. The Bible is full of principles how we work in the family. That's a different thing. But the priority of the local church is the Great Commission. And that's where you need to focus on. Okay? Lest you misunderstand that I'm putting the family below. I'm saying the family and the church are on the same par as far as God is concerned. So that they have different roles. Alright? But lest you misunderstand, also one of the broad direction for 2014 and 15 is to strengthen the families in the master. Okay? If I am wrong with that, show me from the scriptures. Okay? Show me from the scriptures. Family is very important. Let's not mistake that. Okay? I want to make it very clear. Family is very important in God's sight because it's an institution of God. But to say that it's a priority of a local church is something different. That is not written in scripture. Jesus gave a great commission to the church, and when we are gathered together as one in the local church, We have to work together for that priority. Okay? Now, putting that in perspective, we have to strengthen the families to then be able to work together, children obeying parents, and we have things that will help them encourage to work together, and that will lead the family and the wives to support. And we're concerned about that too. But you know what? Ultimately, the family's goal is also to be part of the local church. If you look at how the apostles, whenever the apostles were around, all the family was there to support that as well. So I want to make it very clear. Unless you can show it clearly from Scripture, I believe with all of my heart, we need to be careful. We need to be careful about our focus, okay? Some churches focus on being hip. Just focus on being hip, meaning what we call relevant to society. No, I struggle with this in terms of, as a pastor, one of the things that we need to be relevant to society. Then I ask myself, what do you mean by relevance to society? Does it mean that we adopt what they have? No, the early church did not. In fact, they maintained a very separated stand. I mean, I just venture to give you a definition of relevant to society. We need to be able to hold the light so brightly that we are relevant to meet the needs of society, because Jesus Christ called us not to be part of this world, but to be out of this world, but not of this world. We're supposed to be standing on the shore, throwing out lifelines to people. That's our relevance to society. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. A principle that Paul is embedded in Paul's thinking and his life. And I think all of us, I don't know about you, but I struggle with this because I'm still involved in secular work. Okay? But Paul says in Galatians 6, let's read that together, verse 14. Galatians 6, 14, ready? 1, 2, go. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. If you read what Paul is saying, he says, God forbid it. God never allowed that I should glory, that I should take my glory, that I should rejoice, that I should be happy, except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, this world is crucified to me. You know what that means? The world finds no value in Paul anymore. It used to be that Paul was very valuable to them. Because why? He was killing the Christians. He was getting rid of all of them. Paul was relevant to the world. But when he started preaching Jesus Christ and lived a kind of separated life, Paul says, the world has says, we can forget about Paul. He is irrelevant to us. And then, the other side, he says, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I'm also dead to the world. My life has no more relevance for the world. I'm set apart for Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? As Christians, we need to understand, I think I mentioned it on Friday, last Friday night, the closer we are to the second coming, the further we should be from this world. The closer we are to the second coming, the further we are should be from this world. I'll give you an example. When Brother Desmond and Sister Jamie was about to get married, right? Right? So for the months before that, you find that they get a bit closer and closer in terms of their relationships, right? Right? And you may want to ask Jamie for dinner and say, sorry, I'm busy because I need to prepare for my wedding. Sorry, I got no more time. Right? Brother Desmond, I may want to play basketball with him or soccer. We need to go and find that. Make sure our rings fit. The more things they were doing together because they're preparing for the big day. Does that make sense? And so the more we get closer and closer to the day we're going to see our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a church. I like this illustration by, some of you may know, James Vernon McGee. The closer we are to the wedding day, the less time we have with the boyfriends of this world. We will be, Sister Jamie doesn't have to, but for some ladies, they may be losing weight, keeping their hair long, doing certain things. Why? They are preparing themselves, right? And some friends say, hey, don't be so square lah. Yeah, your wedding 1 week away only, what? So stick and say, no. I want to set myself. Come, let's go for buffet. No. I need to set myself apart. It may not be sin, but because the bridegroom is more precious, or the bride is more precious. The closer we are to the second coming, the further we must be from this world. In our heart attitudes, we must be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. The relevance to society must be biblically based. We must not say that, oh, as the Lord churches will use this, we need to be relevant. This year, one of the things I will be touching on is the emerging church. We need to understand what is the culture of the emerging church. Because a lot of church, even independent Baptist church, are being sucked in without knowing. Okay? Some churches focus on social work. Some churches focus on other things. But we need to be focused on what is important to Christ. If Jesus Christ was the pastor of this church, what do you think he'll be doing? Oh, he'll be doing a lot of things, okay? But what was the primary thing on his heart? The Bible says he went about doing much good. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was healing and helping people. You know what? As a church, we need to pattern our lives after his ministry. Okay? Any questions? I want to... we need to be focused on what is important to Christ. The Great Commission within the local church is the most important priority to God. And because it's the most important to God, it must be important to us too. This may shake some of your thinking, but unless you can show me from the scriptures... let me read a few verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let me just read. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Romans 10, 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? In 1 Corinthians 15, 34, Paul wrote, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, verse 5, 2 Timothy 4, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 17, Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Okay, I know I made some bold statements, but I believe from God's word, the focus of the New Testament local church. Remember, it's God's priority for the church. Okay? And as families, as members of Ambassador Baptist Church, we need to, as a church, recognize that God's priority is a Great Commission. And Great Commission, of course, there are many levels. Okay? Primary two broad ones, evangelism and the edification of the believer. In evangelism, we need to be always be looking out. That's one of our broad direction for this year. I'll actually break it down next week when I share the broad direction. But then the edification of the believer would include how we function within the family. How we actually learn from the scriptures, the principles, the importance God places in certain areas. And so, I don't want us to... I may make a statement, I want to make it very clear. It's a priority of God in the Word of God with regards to His heart and priority for the local church. Okay? Does it make sense? In terms of how we then live that out, in terms of the priority, I just give you a few points. The church focus, as we close, the church focus is still age old and yet brand new. The heart of God is still for the church to be reaching the lost and building up the saved and preparing them for the kingdom of God. In the Great Commission of the local church, we have to be always on fire, always focused on that. The moment we lose that, we essentially lose our right to exist as a local church. In other words, if our emphasis for coming to church is for our needs to be met, then we have a serious problem. Our goal is to grow in Christ, for God to meet our needs, and then to be able to function together as a local church for His glory, so that other people can come. You know what? Ambassador has been doing that, and I thank God that we do have good favor, thank God, with many people. But you know, it's important for us to put things in perspective, that this will continuously be the priority that we need to have. This was the mandate and the commission, and it still is. Okay, it still is. And may I say that whatever may be your agenda this year, the priority of God in the local church needs to be up there too. If the priority is not, you are missing one of God's important priorities in this life. Please understand, the local church, Jesus Christ died for the church. And therefore, the church and the priority God has must be included in our life on planet Earth. If it is not, we have missed the point. We have missed the point of God's will. Does that make sense? Okay? We need to be very, very clear on that. So practically, I would venture four things. Number one, be faithful at Friday nights to pray together as a church for each other and for lost souls. Okay? Commit yourself to one of the attracting teams, Sembawang or Yishun. Pray that God will... Okay, this one is personal. Pray that God will give you one soul to reach this year and then disciple that individual for the glory of God. One soul. I know if each one do that, our church will double by the end of the year. And so pray, as I'm also planning, that we have what we call a bi-monthly outreach evangelism effort. Every 2 months, we have just one Sunday set apart just to preach the gospel so that we can invite friends. Okay? So, any questions as we close? Any questions as we close? Okay. Remember, if I'm just focusing on what from Matthew, verse 1 to Revelation, the last verse, the focus and emphasis of the local church. Okay? And we have to be very clear that if we have other emphasis that you feel that should be emphasized, let me say this. There are many things that the apostles taught us, okay, in the practice of the church and stuff like that. But I'm saying when Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission, the marching orders, I think in the army, usually before you go on mission, there's one big thing, right, to capture whatever. There's a big mission statement. And everything else have to go under that one. Now I'm just looking at this. I haven't gone through all this yet. Okay? The big one as the goal of the church, just like the goal of the school is to educate. Yes? The goal of the army is to defend the country. Alright? The goal of a hospital is to help sick people get better. That's a general overall goal. Can you imagine a hospital become a charity organization where they give out food? Then we have a problem. Does that make sense? Or the army, of course, they can be activated to help in floods and all that because of their sheer size and the equipment they have. But ultimately, it boils down to one thing. They must be able to defend the country. That's their number one goal. There's a military defense. They must be there. When we can't defend ourselves because we don't have rifles. The most we have broomsticks or it's the army that has all those equipment. So I just want to highlight and impress on our hearts God's priority. And so as you think through your resolutions and all that, I pray that God will actually put this in our hearts. Not to forget the local church. Because when we are members of the body of Christ, God does have very clear instructions for local church. And as Christians, as being part and parcel of the local church, which is God's will, we need to be very clear, Lord, how do I get involved? How do I get involved? All right? Any questions as we close? If not, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, as we begin this year, and I'm praying, Father, that your Holy Spirit will guide us as your people. I know, Lord, that thy word is so clear about the ministry of the local church in the New Testament, because that's your plan. Your plan in the New Testament. The very emphasis, the epistles, generally, Lord, we see the apostles teaching many of the Christians how they should function within the local church. and the emphasis upon which we need to place on it. And Father, we pray that everyone, every family would submit themselves to this priority. Lord, we ask you to help us to be one man this year, to be clearly one man. For we know, Lord, when we take care of your business, you will take care of ours. Lord, we have seen so many of your faithfulness, Lord, as we take responsibility for the priority you've given to us, and then be able to put that as part and parcel of the life you've given to us. Lord, we are very sure you give us grace in the other aspects of our family life and other aspects as well. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to embed the priority of the local church into our lives so that it will be part and parcel, Lord, of our life and living. Everything that we do, Lord, we will think, what is your will, Lord, for my family, for the local church, and how we can effectively as one, Lord, meet the needs of the people in society as the local church did in the book of Acts. Father, I pray that we'll all be of one heart, one mind. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. So take prayer requests now, Lord, and we pray that you'll be among us. Thank you for bringing Sister Gill back, and of course the family. I pray that you will bless them even as they make decisions, as they live their lives here again. I pray that your Holy Spirit will lead them to. And we'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.